Moving on from post-horror to art horror now. And if you're in Brisbane, it is a great time to be alive. Clear your diaries because four rare films and one short from the Czech master Juraj Hertz are screening for free. That's right, for free at the Queensland Gallery of Modern Art over the next few days. It's a collaboration between the Queensland Film Festival, which began this week, and the Czech and Slovak Film Festival. Seldom has a filmmaker ever creeped me out as much as Juraj Hertz. I have never been so afraid and really dazzled as I was when I came across the fisheye lens imagery in his 1972 film Morgiana on late night TV back in the 1990s. Certain images have stayed with me since then. Here to discuss Hertz's 1969 masterpiece, The Cremator, about a crematorium manager who's headhunted by the Nazis and kills his wife and children, is Czech and Slovak artistic director Cerise Howard.
Well, his backstory is a very interesting one. And I should add that he's still around and still active. He even shares a birthday with Jan Švankmajer, both the exact same day, same year, both, I think, 82
wow,
presently.
The stars were aligning in a pretty kooky constellation that day.
Well, yeah, that's right. And there's more to it than that. They're actually, I think, to this day, good friends and have worked together often enough in the past, even before both were involved with cinema. They both studied puppetry. And in Švankmajer's very first film, a sort of a live-action puppet film, The Last Trick, Hertz is one of the actors, and he appears in another Švankmajer short, The Flat. So he came to film through a different course to many of the other filmmakers commonly associated with what's come to be known as the Czechoslovak New Wave. He didn't attend Prague's storied film school, FAMU, like Miloš Forman or Jiří Menzel or many other luminaries of that New Wave. But he still came to work with many of the key figures on screen and behind the camera. But if we go back even further before his student years, his backstory is a very interesting one and quite a traumatic one, because as a child he was interned in the Ravensbrück concentration camp. He's a Slovak-born Jewish man whose whole family mercifully survived the Holocaust, but not without a lot of trauma, which leads to his best-known film, The Cremator, makes it all the more extraordinary knowing his background. That the film plays out as a comedy at all is just utterly extraordinary, but then everything about that film is overloaded with symbolism and excessive aesthetic virtuosity.
It's remarkable how he manages to achieve this virtuosity on screen, though, isn't it? It's about images, but it's also about the way he puts them together. This cutting style that can be quite jarring at times, but seems to unleash in the viewer this deep sense of being sort of not exactly knowing where you are.
The Cremator is remarkable for its matching shots. It often cuts on a shot of Rudolf Hrušinski posed in a certain fashion, often gesticulating in some way, and then in the blink, he's in that same pose, but in an entirely different location.
Yeah, that's right. We fast-forwarded a few days or hours, or that's exactly right. And yeah. There's that little magnificent motif, a gestural motif that he repeats throughout the film of combing his hair. And he has this slicked hair sort of style, a bit like Adolf Hitler. It comes across to the side. But the creepiest thing about that haircut and the way he combs it is that he uses the same comb to comb the hair of the corpses in the various coffins at work.
Yeah, yes. Well, he is a character who somehow has come to valorize death ahead of life. And he has this strange notion that he's doing good in helping people to their deaths all the sooner, that in some sort of warped understanding of Tibetan Buddhism.
I love the Tibetan Buddhism part of this. It's so hilarious.
Yeah.
It's very arcane and very Nazi, by the way, obviously as well. There was a section of the whole Nazi movement that was very much into arcane Eastern philosophies. But sorry, go on.
Well, no, you're right. There's this interest in the occult, and that the Nazis in the film managed so successfully to woo him and have him turn against his own family. It's extremely chilling, yet somehow the whole thing manages to play out in a strangely comical register at the same time. It's a most extraordinary balancing act.
Yes, well, he turns against his family ultimately, and it becomes this hideous, but as you say, darkly comic film. And there is one of the most chilling sequences I put to celluloid, I think, where he's chasing his own daughter around a bunch of coffins in the basement of the crematorium which he runs. And it's all shot on a couple of, you know, wide angle lenses, which distort, and the poor girl's running from her own father, who has suddenly just been taken over by this madness.
There are a lot of descents into madness for characters in his films, and somehow, I wouldn't exactly say he makes that seem seductive, but he certainly makes it immersive and captivating, because the films are so aesthetically loaded. I wouldn't always say pleasing, because some of the imagery is horrific, but it's compelling, and there's a rhythm to it.
Yes.
He's masterful with his rhythmic camera movements and editing. Like Schwenkmeyer as well, you just fall into under a bit of a spell.
They're luxurious, aren't they? They're sort of, in terms of the visual imagery, there is a lot of beauty. There is a lot of, even when you're seeing something horrific.
Yeah, well, so Cremator is a black and white film. Morgiana is extremely luridly colourful, and yet you can still see that same sensibility there and the same richness of mise-en-scène. Morgiana is full of beautiful Art Nouveau-inspired aesthetics, extremely frou-frou costuming and strange seaside locations. But in both films, he had the, like many of the great films of the Czechoslovak New Wave, they were just able to call upon an extraordinary talent pool. So in each of those two films, for example, there are extraordinary cinematographers used. In the case of Morgiana, Yaroslav Kuchera, this talismanic cinematographer of the New Wave, he took experimentations he'd been doing with colour and prismatic effects that he'd used in Vera Kitchilova's films Daisies and Fruit of Paradise, two other extraordinary highlights of the New Wave, and then taking them to perhaps another level with in Morgiana, where the hallucinations in that film, you really experience them yourself as a viewer, as colour breaks down and just bleeds all over the screen. And it's beautiful, but it's also madness.
You mentioned Daisies by Vera Kitchilova. I'm just wondering about where these sorts of very visionary directors place themselves within a broader artistic context, within the traditions of what was then called Czechoslovakia.
There are certainly traditions which will feed into their aesthetic strategies. Surrealism has always had a very strong foothold in the Czech and Slovak lands. Prague was the other great base of surrealism. And Jan Schwenkmeyer, for example, is still a card-carrying surrealist. There are still groups that meet regularly and exhibit together and continue the surrealist experiments. So there's that. There's always been an embrace of the absurd over there, and however that might manifest, whether it's aesthetically or more narratively. I mean, you could say that this, whether it's Hertz's films or Schwenkmeyer's or Kitchilova's, these films are all full of absurdity and surreal imagery and expressionist imagery. I think a country that has experienced such traumatic times as Czechoslovakia did in the 20th century, with regime change after regime change, and not to forget that the country only came into existence in 1918, that this all bleeds into these films.
Film programmer Cerise Howard on Juraj Hertz's The Cremator, part of a mini retrospective, a must-see for anyone in Brisbane. It's screening at GOMA as a joint presentation of the Czech and Slovak Film Festival and the Queensland Film Festival. These screenings are free. Get along. The films will travel to Melbourne in September and Canberra in October. And if you can't make those, you can track them down on disc online.